You know, this year we've been talking about remaining in the vine. That's our theme this year, right? Remaining in the vine. I'm going to read here. It says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So we're talking about remaining in the vine. But in order to remain in the vine, we must take some steps to make sure we remain in the vine. Not for this year, but for the rest of our life. How do I remain in the vine? There are some steps that I believe that we got to take to ensure that we remain in the vine. You know, it's scary to take a step forward, right? Something new. It's scary to step forward. It's going to take faith. It's going to take prayers. It's going to take being together, doing this together. It's going to take time, and it's going to take effort. The question is, are you willing to take some steps so that you can remain in the vine? This morning, I had three simple steps that I think if we just do these steps, you know, as we go through this year, we will remain in the vine. Step number one, step into Jesus. Jesus says, I am the true vine. We are the branches. We cannot do anything unless we are connected to the true vine. I think we need to take a look at our fruits to see if we are producing the right fruit. Are we connected to the right vine? What kind of fruit are we producing? By their fruits, you will recognize them, Jesus said in Matthew. What are your fruits saying about you? What kind of tree are you? Let's step into Jesus and see what he is like and how we can be like him. The first part of Jesus was dependent on God. Mark chapter 1. Since very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Since very early in the morning, he got up, spent some time with God. Are we doing that as well? Are we spending time with God? It says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered prayers and petition with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission in Hebrew. So Jesus was totally dependent on God. How dependent are you on God? Are you desperate? Are you fighting to get something out of your time with God? Or is it just something you do, a check-off list in the morning? I prayed and I read my Bible. I shared my faith. Is it a checklist or is it a relationship? So Jesus wants a relationship with us. So number one here is Jesus was dependent on God. If Jesus needed God, how much more should we need God? We need God daily, every day. Number two here, step into Jesus. Jesus was radical about sin. You know, Matthew says, if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. This is a hard teaching, right? Jesus was radical about sin. Because he knew that sin was the hindrance between a great relationship with God. You know, sometimes we know our sin, but we're not really radical about them. And so they remain. So they linger on year after year. We're not radical about sin. Jesus was radical about sin. You know, we've made compromises, and slowly we've kind of walked away from God. You know, I've heard many people come to me and say, hey, John, I've prayed about this. Just because you prayed about it doesn't make it right. It has to be according to God's will. I think sometimes we think, okay, well, I prayed about it, I've studied it out, but what does the Word of God say? Are you radical about your sin? We can find ourselves walking away from sin, I mean, walking away from God, if we are not radical with our sins. Number three here, Jesus saw only what is eternal. Step into Jesus. He saw only what is eternal. In Luke chapter 5 here, you know, just to set you guys up, there was a paralytic man, and he could not walk. So four of his friends got him up to the top of the roof. They dug a hole. They lowered this guy down right in front of Jesus. And you know, this is what Jesus said to him. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friends, your sins are forgiven." You would think Jesus would say, "Hey, you're paralyzed. I want to heal you." That's what I would have said. "Hey, I can heal you." But no, Jesus went for an eternal thing. He says, "Your sins are forgiven." See, Jesus doesn't care on the outside. He does not care what we look on the outside. He cares only what's on the inside. And you know the truth is, we need forgiveness. I need forgiveness. Jesus wants to give us forgiveness. He only saw what is eternal. Do you have an eternal perspective? Or is it just about this world and the things we can get? Our house, our cars, our careers. Is it just the thing that we're in this world? Are we having a perspective on eternal? Let's get an eternal perspective on Jesus. So number one is step into Jesus. Find out what he's like and imitate him. Step number two here is step out from sin. You know, I sometimes feel like this. I don't know if you guys can relate. I feel like I know God loves me. I'm just not quite sure if he likes me. Come on, John. You know? I know God loves me in my mind, and you know, I know he likes me, but I'm just not sure if he likes me. Because I know when I sin, I feel like God is mad at me. When I fall short, I feel like, "God, you're mad at me." Or he's angry and he wants to punish me. And when I go through bad times, I'm thinking, this is what it is. He's punishing me right now. Or he's disappointed at me. Or he's sad and he wants to remove his love from me. And so I feel sad and I feel depressed and I feel like I can't overcome my sin. There's no way I can overcome my sin. But look at this scripture in Psalm. It says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more." You see, God knows how we are formed. We're just dust. We don't have the capability to be righteous like him. We're just here and then gone tomorrow, it says, and the place remembers it no more. Let me tell you something, that God loves you and that he likes you too. You know, you are never too far off to ever come back to God. You have never sinned so much that he's like, no more. You're no longer welcome. There's nothing you can do that God will remove his love from you. It's not a license for us to sin. You know, but you are never too far gone. And you said, "But John, you don't understand what I've done. I am a liar. I am a cheater. I'm impure. I'm lustful. I'm lazy. I have full of hatred in my heart. How can God take me back?" God will take you back a million times if you just simply repent and don't quit. He will take you back. Don't quit. Stay. You see, it's not about being perfect. You know, it is arrogant and prideful to think that we can be perfect outside of God. We cannot be perfect. We are simply dust. We sin daily. It is about sincerely trying to be like Jesus. It is not about perfection. You know how sometimes we feel like we're the only one in this position. But you know, the truth is we're all in a very similar position. We get together, we confess sin, and you know, I'm like, wow, you guys are struggling just like me. See, you don't need to be perfect. You just need to repent. In 1 John chapter 1 here, verse 5 to 10, it says, this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sins. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. It tells us how can we continually be clean? It's for us to walk in the light, to confess our sin. It says he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sin. You know, you guys ever see this movie? That it's a ticking time bomb, and you got to cut the blue wire or the red wire, right? I saw that one the other day. I'm like, cut the blue one. Even though I've seen this 1,000 times, and he like cuts it, and it stopped like, you know, 2 seconds left, and you're like, whoo. You see, I think when we confess our sin, we cut off the power to sin. It's open. I don't have to live in fear anymore. We cut off the power to the ticking time bomb that is going on in our lives. We disarm the power of sin by living and walking in the light. Do you want to walk in the light? Let's walk in the light. If you're unwilling to confess, you're unwilling to repent. Let's get our sins open. Step out of sin. You know, sometimes my daughter and I, we go out on a drive and we see this side of the road, and it's you know, they burned it. You know, they burned on the side of the road, and they're thinking, oh, Daddy, is that, you know, did lightning strike there and it caught on fire? And I'm like, no, you know, they have this thing called control burning. They have to burn this thing in order for things to grow, because there's too many things there. It's not growing right. And so they have to burn these things. And so, you know, I think for our, in our walk with God, there's got to be something that we have to have control burning in our lives. There's got to be something that we are absolutely sure that we need to burn this thing so that we can grow. We have to grow. The truth is, if we're not growing, then we're dying. We're simply dying. We have to keep growing. We got to burn. We got to have control burn on our sins and the things that so easily entangle us. My question is, what will you burn? Or will you burn at all? Will you disarm the power of sin by walking in the light? What is stopping you? Is it fear? Is it embarrassment? I don't want people to judge me. Are you going to let fear and embarrassment stop you from getting to heaven? Let's be radical with our sin. In Hebrew here it says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Step out from sin. Starts today. And my last point here, number 3, is step up and serve and help others to know Jesus. Let your love for God, let your love for Jesus, your gratitude for his sacrifice motivate you to serve others, to serve each other here, and to help others be reconciled to God. You know, 2017, we're going to have a lot of opportunity to serve our community. We're going to have an opportunity to serve the homeless and the elderly and our kids. And so there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be happening in our community. And I want us to serve. But I don't want us to get caught up in all the good activities that we do. Right? Sometimes you can do all these good things, but you're not even connected to God. You're not repenting of your sin, but yet we do all these good things and make us feel good. See, I don't want us to do that. I want us to work from the inside out. I want us to be connected to God. I want us to love people. I want us to have our gratitude so that we can help people. You know, Matthew chapter 9, it says, when he saw the crowd, Jesus, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And I know Steve Mukenya is going to speak on this thing on Wednesday night, so please come on Wednesday night. But, you know, I look at this, and what Jesus says, they are helpless and harassed. He had compassion on them. How compassionate are we with our neighbors, with our families, with our friends? Let's have compassion on them. We have to love them deeply. We have to gently instruct and hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to knowledge of the truth. You know, this happened to me maybe 2 months ago. There was two guys that came and knocked on the door, and I wasn't home at that time, and so my wife said, hey, why don't you come back? My husband will be back, and you guys can come back and talk to him about this. And so I you know, the next day they came back, and they were selling me vacuum, okay? And this vacuum is awesome. It's amazing. And it will clean. And so what their promotion was, we will clean your one room of your house for free if you just sit here and let us demonstrate for you. I'm like, okay, one house. Yeah, let's do it. So they demonstrated. But up front, they said, you don't have to pay anything. Just let us, you don't have to pay. You can say no at any time and we'll just go. And so at the end, he's like, you know, they're cleaning half of the room. So the guy sits down with me and he says, so what do you think? I like, love it. This is great. He's like, well, the price to this is $2,900. And I'm thinking, that's a lot of money for a vacuum. And so, but he's like, but you don't have to pay it right now. You don't have to pay it. You can pay a little increment, you know, and he showed me how much it would cost to pay. Within 3.5 years, I would pay off this vacuum. And then he also said, you know, let's put no money down. You can have zero down, and here's how much you're going to pay. In 3.5 years, you would pay off this vacuum. And so I told the guy, like, you know, I'm not going to buy this vacuum. This, you know, it's great. I love it. It's awesome. But I'm just not going to spend $2,900 on a vacuum. And then he kept, you know, and right there said no pressure to buy. But at the end, it's like, hey, you got to buy it. This is good. Look at your house. It's dirty. You know, you need to get this thing. You got to have it. So I felt like, oh my goodness, maybe I do need to buy this thing and my house needs to clean. But I'm like, no, I can't buy this. You know, it's out of our budget. So he kept saying, you got to buy it. I'm like, listen, you're asking me to finance a vacuum. Are you serious? You're asking me to finance a vacuum. And so he's like, okay, forget it. You're not going to buy. So he packs up his stuff. He calls to the other guy, hey, let's go. He's not going to buy. The guy packs up his stuff and left. He didn't finish my room. And just because I didn't buy, he left. You know, they both packed up and left. And so, you know, and I'm like, I'm at the end, I'm like thinking, God, what just happened here? What's happening? And I think he did it just for me. He said, John, you're just like those salesmen. You go and tell people about Jesus. And you're like, you don't have to pay it up front. You can finance Jesus. You don't have to pay it all up. You can finance Jesus. And then when they don't do what I want, they want, you know, what I think they should do, I pack up my stuff. Okay, I'm out of here. I didn't even do what I said I would do. I take away my friendship. Take away my love. See, I think we got to love people deeply. It's not about selling Jesus. It's not about selling the church. And we have an amazing church. It's not trying to get people to come. It's showing them Jesus and who he really is. I don't want to be a salesman. I'm not very good at it. I just want to tell people about Jesus. I just want to tell them what I know and what he has done for me. He's done an amazing thing for me. You know, as we close here, you know, it's going to take faith and patience to prevail. You know, as we step into Jesus, finding out who he's like, step out of sin, disarm our sin, step up to serve and help others to know Jesus. We need each other. We need to help each other as we run the race marked out for us. We need to help one another so that we can remain in the true vine. We are in this together, all the way to the end, until we see Jesus in his face. You know, I pray that your hearts are stirred this morning. I pray that as we leave here, that it will not fall on deaf ears. I pray that as we leave here, that we will be encouraged and inspired to step into Jesus, to find out who he is. And for those who are visiting with us, sit down with somebody and say, hey, look, I want to know this Jesus. I want to find out who he is. Sit down and get together and study the Bible. I really encourage you to do that. I think it will change your life. It changed my life. It changed my life. And it can change yours as well. Thank you so much. God bless.